Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
It is higher and above every other name, that everywhere the name of Jesus is being pronounced, every authority and dominion will bow to him. Mahila ni safaina hira ko salena shite. Wede kanves koma nele naras ketele biskefeto la disha. Dakia na kazala ne kola. Let the glory of your name rise in this place and let your throne. Ah, linakazia na kavele meshita. Mezefedi sefa. Let your throne rest with us. Let it abide with us. Let the power of your presence, the awesome presence of Jesus, begin to abide with us. Let your presence rest mightily, and let everything that is called sickness, disease, and infirmity be taken out of the way. In the name of Jesus, we cause every pain in the body, every pain in the bones, every pain in the heart, every asthma, every pain in the kidney, every appendicitis, every back pain, every stomach pain, every ulcer, whatever tree that the Father has not planted, I declare begin to shrink in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare by the Spirit of God that you are healed in your body in the name of Jesus. You are healed in your bones. I declare SS is becoming AA in the name of Jesus. I declare SS is becoming AA in the name of Jesus. I declare that the face of the covering cast is being removed. Everything that shields you from your place and season of prominence is being taken out of the way in the name of Jesus. I declare that you begin to blossom like the staff of Aaron, and your days of announcement is here in the name of Jesus. Let your word come forth like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven, and let your people be truly fed and satisfied by the very words that come from your mouth in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Jesus. Wow.
I surrender. I want to know you. I want to know you more. Surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you.
Say, I surrender.
I surrender.
I'm not struggling with you.
I surrender.
I want to know you.
I want to know you. I want to know you. I surrender. I surrender.
I surrender.
I want to know.
Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of God, not in tables of stones, but in the fleshly tables of the earth. And I, as we continue in our series of building capacity for impact, I want to start by sharing just in a minute on this verse that I've read. Scripture is teaching that God, the pen is to a writer what the Spirit of God is to the Father. Follow me. Just like an author, a writer would capture his emotions and his moments by being able to scribble, God doesn't write on paper. He writes on hearts. So in the Old Testament, he wrote on tablets of stones, but in the New Testament, he says, I will write my laws in your heart. Even in the Old Testament times, there were people who didn't have the Bible to study, but they were able to walk in a very, very strange way with God because they had the law of God in their heart. And that's why Proverbs will tell you, put these laws in your heart. Wrap them around your neck. Let your t-shirt carry a scripture. Let your wristwatch, your wristband, let it tell you something. So that the truth can always be in your face. There's something about you being in a place where God can write on you. You see, it's not just write, it's engraving. Every time God is able to engrave his heart in your heart, every time God is able to do that, anytime anybody stops by that bus stop, they know he's taken. She's taken. She's taken. You are not just a loafer. There is the sign, the signal of heaven. There is the mark of heaven upon your soul that she is taken. And a lot of us are not in that place. Even though potentially we are there, but in reality we are not there. The Bible talks about the earnest of the Spirit, which is the down payment. When a man comes to Christ, God, it's like God did a down payment. You are paying for a car, and you say, when I balance you, I'll come back and pick the car. And what is the day of perfection? Sonship. And what is sonship? You get to that place in your walk with God where God can choose not to show up if you are there. Did you hear that? When God can choose not to show up, because you also carry the weight of what he represents. Say, God, we need to get to China. I say, why? Say, Gwenga is there. Why should I be there? Gwenga is there. He carries us. He fully represents what we stand for. That's why Archbishop said, God doesn't need to stop the witches in Benin City. I am enough. You fly, you die. You fly, you die. Sonship. Sonship. And it's not a bluff. Try it. To your own peril. So every time God is trying to stretch you, it is because he wants to make a deposit. He wants to make a deposit in you so that a temple he can find himself. All journey, seeking the Lord, praying in the Spirit, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, so that God can find himself a temple. Verse 4. And such trust we have through Christ to God's word. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. He said, but our sufficiency is of God. This journey started in God. This journey will be consummated in God. If there is anything you are able to identify as the reason why you made enough progress, please, that is what will sustain you. If you got to this point, praying and fasting, and doing vigils, my brother, the day you wake up in the night and you just like, I'll pray tomorrow. Somebody's backsliding. Because the way you start is the way you finish. The strength of the building is equivalent to the strength of the foundation. If you start
planted on the grounds of prayer. And I don't know about you guys who are very psychedelic or very hip-hop. If you are very hip-hop without Holy Ghost, I'm so sorry for you, because it's not just about your makeup, but about your making side. It's what you have on the inside that will speak for you. If David didn't have anything, if he looked into the eyes of Goliath, he would be weak. But in the realm of spirit, in the school of spirit, we know that the strength of a man is not necessarily his height. It's not necessarily his size. You may be 15 years and be an elder in the spirit. You may be 60 years and be a spiritual baby. The greatest disadvantage of Goliath was to commonize David. Oh, commonize yourself. Because the Goliath standing in front of you, we are made by you. Much of the obstacles you faced, you created them. You created those Goliaths. And then every time you try to bind them, they say, but I am you. You can't bind yourself. You created me. I am your creation. And that's why scripture keeps talking consistently about renewing your mind. Because the way you create is the way you destroy it. There's so much power on your inside. And Paul was teaching, and he said, it is not that we are sufficient of ourselves. When we begin to talk about sonship, it is not something we achieve by fulfilling a set of rules and conditions. He said it is the work of Christ. As God continues to write upon our hearts, he's writing page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5. These are developments in the spirit. Are you hearing me? Because anything he writes, it's programmed. Anything he writes, he activates. So you just find that before now, you came to church, you clapped and you danced and you prayed. All of a sudden, there is a program in you that allows you wake in the night. In Kadaladabashata, and you lift up your hands to God and begin to pray. Hey, what's up now? These days, you just get up and you begin to pray. Say, it's a programming. It's a programming. Most of you are looking for programs, but what you need is a programming. You need to be programmed for something. The software will act after its nature. That every time God is writing, he's just writing. He's looking for places to write. That's why he doesn't talk too much. He's looking for places to write. I know you want him to use it, but he's looking. Are you available for writing? Most of us want God to bend his principles. But you see, he's too old for that. When the devil took a quarter of heaven in rebellion, the easiest thing could have to grant them amnesty. Say, let no need to cause quarrel. Grant you amnesty. Don't fight here. God never left his seat one day. He behaved as if nothing was happening. And there was war in heaven. God didn't even say, is it Lucifer? God saw the seed of rebellion growing in him from the first day. He never behaved like he saw anything. The way he's seeing your own. Are you surprised sometimes? You know you sinned. A pastor is giving you a good prophecy the next day. And I'm wondering like, this man doesn't know where I'm coming from. Well, yesterday I was in that guy's house. And I see the seed of destiny rising up on your inside. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, your man. Wow. Wow, so this is a prophecy, yeah? You know, you are just warning. You see, God is a future speaking God. Every time God speaks, he's not speaking about your today, he's speaking about your tomorrow. He's trying to, prophecy is to bring your tomorrow into your present. So every time God is speaking, it's not because he validates or approves of what you are doing. It's because he sees that you made it. That you eventually grew up, you became better, and you became his intention. Say, but it's not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Anything that you require muscles to do for God, it may be fine, but it will not be accepted. That's why it's called the El Shaddai, multi-breasted God. God will never send you and then tell you to go look for the money. When he sent you, he said, do not go with purse or script. Just go with the message. He said, and anywhere you go, say shalom. Shalom. Peace, shalom, peace. The kind of peace only God can give. In the midst of storm and turmoil, you are calm. Are you not going to do anything about the situation? What do I do? What do you do when you don't know what to do? I think I should teach that very soon. What to do when you don't know what to do? When you are toe to toe with the devil, and you are either hearing God now or not. And that's why I taught you guys several months ago about being able to hear God beyond words at the speed of thought. Leave it. Verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of ourselves as anything. In other words, if God is doing anything in you, and you are beginning to think that you've attained one level spiritually, it ain't God. He said, but our sufficiency is of God. That when God asks you to take a decision, if God asks you to empty your account, you must be looking at it from a sufficiency point of view. If God asks you to give your car away, you must be willing to look at it not from the point of your sufficiency, because not that we are sufficient in ourselves. You see, the ability to even give that thing away is coming from God. When I buy you a car, if there's a guy here who is very sorry, some unbelievers I wants to buy a lady here a car, he's doing that of his sufficiency. But no, nothing is free. God can give you a gift and let you walk away. You walk away. And then when you say, is it because you say, no, I'm not even talking about that. That's just a gift. God has never driven a car before. He has never bought a car before. If you are the one that knows the difference between Escalade and God is like, what are those things? If God needs to be anywhere, a car will limit him. So why should I leave a jet and sit down with a bicycle? If I need to be somewhere now, just by thinking it, I am there. Philip needed to get somewhere. There was no way we would meet up. Pew. Pew. Ah, so quick. Do you understand what thou readest? You see, those kind of expenses only come to people who are sold out. So every time you come to church, it's not to do parapo or to sit down here and have fun. You must allow the writings to go on in your heart. So it is open heart that opens the heavens. If your heart is closed, it doesn't matter what is coming. You cannot benefit from it. Verse 6. He said, we have made us our sufficiencies of God. Who has made us what? Able ministers of the New Testament. And I don't want to touch that word New Testament. If I touch it, I won't preach my message. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter what? Killeth, the Spirit giveth life. Some of you think that means that we shouldn't read the letter. That's not what he's saying. I'll come back and address that another day. But I want you to look at the word able. Scripture says he has made us what? You want to walk with God? The word minister is the word servant. It's the word to stand waiting on the Lord. Those who wait upon the Lord will what? They will renew their strength. To wait on the Lord is not necessarily fasting, even though it may include fasting. To wait on someone means to be at the beck and call of that person. If he calls you 2 a.m., you are there. If he calls you 6 a.m., you are there. If he calls you, when you are about to go on a vacation with your wife, you cancel that and show up. It's a heart position.
Yes, yes.
I'm making money, I'm doing stuff. The moment he calls me, I need you now. Bam. Sorry, I'll see you later. What are you going to do? I need to pray. Huh? If we can put some seriousness into our relationship with God, the way we put the seriousness into our jobs, half. Everyone will probably be looking in your direction. Because some of you will agree with me that you normally will not wake 4 a.m. The only reason why you wake 4 a.m. is to have your bath and get out and get a bus and rush to work, because you know you are going to be late. People that don't have a sense of value for time when it has to do with God. You see, the issue of being timely, it's not that you're a worker in church. I said, if you don't have a sense of value, people want to get married and they tell you, in the culture, you are going to provide so-so things, number item 1 to 40, and when you bring the 42 yams and bring the ram and do everything, and if someone says, hey, we can remove this other one, it's not so important. I say, no, that's our culture. Then when they are coming for service, they said, pastor should wait, that the bride is dressing up. That can't they wait? She has to come when everybody is already seated. You waste my time, the wedding starts without you. When you are going to do your traditional wedding, you are not willing to bend for the boy's family. You made sure you collected everything. You insisted that was your position. But when it came to the things of the spirit, you said, let the church wait. Let them be singing. She's coming. The makeup artist just came in. You have no sense of value for divine appointments. And you are here talking about capacity. Do you understand that when God says he's coming by 12, it doesn't mean 12, it means the meeting starts 12. That means he has to be there before 12. We have to do a total reorientation on our value system. In 1970, 1980s, people employ Christians because of their character, not certificate. If they put your number, matric number, or seat number with someone who happens to be a Christian, you know you are in trouble, because you can't be stranded. If you are stranded in that exam hall, you are failed, because Tunde is not going to talk. Tunde, number one, the way we even look at you. Are you seriously asking me for the answer to that question? Do you know there are even Christians that if they hear the answer flying in the exam hall, they won't write it again? That one, I don't know. I'm asking for grace. I'm saying, you are not sure. Is it A or B? Then someone just say, 32. A? Like, their conscience to know more. I say, but it is your holiness. Yeah, you. Like, because I heard it. It's a serious matter. Then when we, these days, adult education we are doing. And you should expect adults to be able to discuss. Okay. So we're looking at the issue of capacity. And we were here for a few hours last night, and all that was happening to us, that it was stretching us on the inside, stretching us. And just when you think you can do more, he's saying, still have 2 hours to go. Stretch. And some of you will not realize what happened to you until after a few days. Some of you already know. But some of you will not know until a few days from now. You now realize that your capacity to carry certain things have been stretched and has been increased. You are able ministers. If you cannot even believe that God has made you able, we have business being in this service right now. There's an ability that is given to you in God to be strong, to be stable, to be able to stand on the towers and behold his face. That when the angels look at him and they cannot, and they say, oh, holy, holy, you will look at him and say, you have made me able. You have made me. Can you imagine that when a man sinned and came to God, the Bible said, come boldly. This was the man that sinned, though. So the one that didn't sin, what should he be doing? He should be posing. Baba, but today, Alpha. Say, sorry, I couldn't make yesterday's meeting. Say, yeah. You're like, this is Almighty God. You see, the issue of reverence is not rolling on the ground. It's obedience. I said the issue of reverence. We will roll low and we will dance. I said, but what God is really looking at is, the last thing I said to you, what did you do about it? You see, when God says that one, let us expand his capacity so he can minister to more people. What God is looking at, it's not that you roll. There are many people who roll in our big churches, and nothing. After the rolling, we clap for them and nothing happened. For your information, have you seen the angels when they worship before? at Isaiah chapter 6. See the way they worship. Look, go to Isaiah chapter. This is not part of my message. Let's just bridge into this. Let me deviate a bit and look at Isaiah chapter 6. Look at when Isaiah saw the throne of God. Look at the drama. Go to verse 1. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord, and he was sitting upon the throne. Now, not just that he was sitting upon the throne, the throne was what? High and lifted up, and his throne was flowing from that height. That's his robe. And now this is a description of what he looks like up there. His throne is high up there. So even in the spirit realm, we have categories. We have this second heavens. We have the third heavens. In the third heavens, or the old space, they will call it the spirit realm. We have the heavens. Then we have the throne room. We have the throne. So high up there, he was lifted up above all the angelic beings. And then this robe flowed, extended into the temple. And above it stood the seraphs. Now these seraphs are not on the ground. They are suspended. Their worship is in the air. These are seraphs. So each one had six wings, and with two they covered their face. They feared to look at him. We can't stand before such a holy being. The only way we can stand and not lose our sanity, they cover their face. Such powerful wings. But the wings were only good for protecting themselves from the glory. Because when they begin to worship, it blazes glory and holiness. Fire, burning fire. The least you can do. So with two, they cover their feet. The Bible says the feet represents the preparation of the gospel of peace. It is with the feet that you are able to serve him. They bring their service to him and they cover it. They reverence him. They cover their nakedness. Except you cover us, we are not covered. Except you shield me, I am exposed. I am not sufficient in myself. My sufficiency is of you. And with two, they did fly. This is the attitude of anyone who wants to stay with him in that level. Go ahead, verse 3. See the way they worship. When we sing our songs on this earth, we sing, we bless you, Lord, you are holy, holy God, and forever you are God. Now we are singing to God. That's the mindset. When they sing there, they don't sing to God, they sing to themselves. So what they do is they face each other. We bless you, Lord, you are... Now the throne is on this side. So they cried one to another. Holy God, and forever you... When we walk in the light, as in light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood... So as they look at each other, the image of God is being cast before them. And they become one. They don't face the throne out of respect. They face one another. And that's why when you do church, when you come to church, you come to a church where face can come together with faces. He said, I know my servant Moses. He said, I do not speak to him like I speak to others in dreams and visions. I speak to him face to face. As we behold him as in a mirror, we are being changed from what? Glory to glory. And hey, that thing doesn't mean glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. They are just two glories. What is the glory of the old covenant, which he was speaking about in the preceding verses, where he talked about the glory that was upon Moses? And he said, but when we come with open face, the face of the New Testament, we move from this glory into that glory, the same glory in John chapter 17 that he said he has given to the church. The glory that unified the body. He said, the same glory that I had with you before the world began, I now give that glory to them so that they can be one as we are one. Doctrine will never unite the church. The glory will. 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 Step into the glory. The glory will. The glory will. It will answer all the questions. The glory will. The glory will. And they cried one to another and said, holy. And that one will catch it and return it. Holy. And that one will catch it. Holy. 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 And I'm just looking at these suspended beings twisting in the air and throwing bouts of glory into the atmosphere. Bah, just throwing it. Bah, just throwing it. And the whole earth is filled with the glory. And they passed it. It crossed over into Asia. And crossed it again. And crossed into Africa. And passed it again. And I'm looking at all the angelic beings, the prince of Nigeria, standing before the presence of the Lord, receiving the glory and passing it into the churches that behold his face. And I'm saying, the prince over Ghana, receiving that dimension of glory and disseminating it to the other angels, take it to the churches. And I see those places with missing angels, missing princes, because they allowed iniquity to thrive. Say, the whole earth is full of his glory. Did you notice he didn't say, he didn't say the whole world. The earth is the Lord's, not the world. The world Adam gave to Satan. The world there doesn't just speak of space, because when you talk of space, you are speaking of earth, what you can feel and touch. The world there speaks of software, it speaks of the operating system, it speaks of the course of men, how men think, how men do things. And that's why, whether you just, when you think you've seen the best of fashion, somebody's bringing out another hairdo, somebody's bringing out another type of dressing, somebody's bringing out another type of top, you are struggling to keep up, because the prince of this world, the prince of this world, the prince of this world, the earth belongs to him, the world belongs to Lucifer. Leave it. I say this because if you're really serious about stretching in your capacity for God in impact, then you must be willing to embrace another type of ministration. Another type of ministration where the Holy Ghost can write upon your heart. Verse 4. He said, and the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the whole house was filled with smoke. I can stay all day long here, but this is not my emphasis for today. Now I want you to jump into, I spent 2 minutes on this other spot and I move on. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7. It's very important for you to understand the way God thinks. Because when you understand the way God thinks, you can relate better with him. Are you hearing me? Church is not the club that Christians go to. I say, church is not the club that Christians go to. That when you want to walk with God, you will come to places where your blood is marked, where you have to turn your back on certain things, where you have to take your destiny and that if I perish, I perish. Until you get to that point where you can point to what you had to walk away from, your journey has not started. I wish I could preach a health and wealth gospel to you, but I'm so sorry, there's nothing like that. I say that until you can point to certain things you had to walk away from, chances are that you are not even on this journey. Chances are very high. You know how many times I tried to get out of this country? Ha. Every time I looked at the mirror, I just knew I didn't belong here. I knew. For what? If I just spent 3 years in the US, my voice would change. What are you saying? Even when I got into the bank, it was just to work for 1 year, save the money and run. Run, no time. No time. Somebody called me and said, "Pastor, you have no business here. You need to move to the, we need to get you to the US." And I said, "I agree. I'm still here. But if I'm in the US this morning, you can hear my voice. Amen." So it's called time travel. You don't have to be there. Amen. Space travel. Some of the things some of you are killing yourselves for and selling your birthright. You'll be shocked to realize that some people didn't have to do anything to get it. Yes, and you sold yourself for it. Yes. In my house, the first person to travel out was my brother. Or is my brother. But for several years after he lost his job, you know, we were praying and believing God. And then God provided this opportunity. He got a job in National Open University. As an auditor. Like play. He said he was going to embassy immigration to collect his passport. In my mind, okay. Because I know government people. Government, they salary. You don't know what that means. That, like, you just see it. The money, the credit is like that, but it has disappeared. You know, the salary is never enough. My brother was on a business class ticket flying to London for a meeting. His job was to sit down in the plane and let them fly in. There's a way you pay for your flight. It will be preparing you. Because it was the last money your account used to pay for that thing. But when you sit down, you only just drop me at the airport and there's someone there to pick you, check into your hotel. You know, you are not an unknown face. They are waiting for you at the other end. And here you are. Collected 500,000 from a guy and he slept with you, and then you now could fly, and then you are sitting close to somebody who didn't even have to do anything. He's just sitting there waiting for the plane to touch ground. Then you now see how you sold yourself for nothing. Give it time, it will come. You want to kill yourself. It's not about flying. It's the same inferiority complex the God, we are trying to use the gospel to take out of you. That until you touch in other countries, you are not dead. You're a bean to shut up. You lose. God is not faithful because I didn't get the visa. Since when did visa getting have anything to do with God being faithful? People have been losing hope in God because of material things. And then you see programs like, "This year, I must marry." If you are not happy as a young lady, marriage will not make you happy. Because you will wash plate. You will wash clothes. Maybe you used to have a dry cleaner and all of that. But when you start having children, how many clothes are you going to be washing every day? Your child will wear one cloth every 1 hour, every 2 hours. Huh? Talk to me. Huh? Have you ever felt restricted in your life? Start having children, you will know. I want to have 10 children. You just restricted the next 70 years of your life. Because every 10 years, every 20 years, you are waiting for them to go to boarding school. Oh. You must be able to identify the things you walked away from. So when the devil tells you that your experience is not real, tell him, "I know what I walked away from. If I wanted to do the devil, I know where I would be now. It's not you. I don't need you to tell me. You are below me." Some of you look at devil as this year. So you are now discussing at the same level. It has never been an issue of superiority. You are already seated with him. If the devil had what he took to take your life out, you would have been dead by now. That is enough proof for you that the devil cannot write the last chapter of your life. So stop discussing. There's nothing to talk about. There's nothing to talk about the devil. There's nothing to talk about. There's nothing to talk about. I said there's nothing to talk about. They are giving audience to the wrong set of people. You now wonder why you just feel discouraged somehow. You must feel discouraged because you are talking to the devil. It came as an advice, but it was the devil you are talking to. So last week I told you about spiritual capacity. And everything starts from the spirit realm. If you can develop your capacity in the spirit realm, and how do you do that? By praying in the spirit, by meditating on God's word. Let me tell you a few benefits of praying in tongues. These are some of the unpreached messages that I've promised you. Now I want you to read, I think that should be 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I need to get this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I need to get the verse. I think it's towards the end. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Are you there? Go to verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things. Give me Message translation. But you have seen it and heard it because God by Spirit had brought it all out into the open. The Spirit, not content to flit around on the surface, dives into the depth of God and brings out what God planned all along. Go to verse 11. Whoever knows what you are thinking except you yourself? The same with God, except that he not only knows what he's thinking, verse 12, but he lets us in on it. God offers a full report on the gifts of life and salvation that he's giving us. There's another version of this scripture that says that, talking about mystery, the scripture says when we pray in tongues, we speak in mysteries. That we are comparing spiritual things with spiritual, or comparing spiritual things in spiritual languages. This same version. Now, you want to build your spiritual capacity, you must learn how to pray in tongues. You know, I said the reason why we pray in tongues is different. You are marking time. Me, when I pray in tongues, I'm not marking time. I'm being connected to the power source directly. He said you build your capacity. In other words, if there was something you wanted to do and you feel that thing overwhelms you, shift and begin to pray in tongues. Stop that thing, begin to pray in tongues. When my professor in school said to me, I will not give you a conscious assessment of 30% and I want to see how you graduate from this campus. And it was 9-unit courses. So what did I do? He walked into the exam hall and then he was going to, you know, just going around, just looking at. The moment I saw him walking, something died on my inside. Because I realized that for 3 courses, which were all 9-unit courses, which were cumulative of 9-unit courses, I didn't have a CA. And yeah, I am around 3.4 something, just about to step into 2.21, and I'm about to lose everything. So what I did, this is not about having 3 hours to write an exam. Drop the biro. Yeah. This one, when it gets to this level, we're not looking at faces. I closed my eyes in the exam. And sue me for talking in the exam. When you don't have a choice between death, people who don't have a choice between death and survival tend to survive. You see, as long as you have this option somewhere, in case if it doesn't work with Timmy, I will go to Tunde. As long as you have this option, God is just looking at you. But when you don't have any choice, you are standing between the Red Sea and the Egyptian, something will happen. Something has to happen. Because then every potential of faith would you be released, forced to come out. I would die believing. Manda Kataya! What's wrong with this guy? But this is final year. Cool down. The people who attend the class even understand what the man was saying. See, that's the problem. When people who are in class are saying they don't understand what the guy was saying, they read the textbook, the first line doesn't agree with the second line, then you are not in class. No CA. Sorry, banned from coming to class with no CA. The man is still in my school, but we are friends now. God didn't give him a chance to fail me. Because I had 3 distinctions in those courses. Are you hearing me? So it's not... I'm telling you that, you see, your problem is you think that is everything is straight route. But when I didn't know what to do, I shut down on the outside. I open up on the inside. Speaking in tongues, what does it do? It expands your capacity for supernatural things. You don't know how powerful you are, I'm telling you. Yes. I remember, you are looking at something that is, and that's why there is transfer of power by what? By radiation. By contact. You can transfer the power of God just in your thought. Somebody was sick, and then they said, I will come and pray for him. I say, you don't need to come. I understand spiritual authority. Speak the word only. And just spoke into the air. The air carried those words into the room. Found the man. You are healed. You are healed. You are healed. And when they asked the man, they said, at what time did he begin to get better? Same time. Learn how to use your words. You use it to talk about the problem of Nigeria and gossip and all kind of stuff. You are not helping yourself. When you pray in tongues, you expand your capacity for the supernatural. Don't just speak in tongues because you have a prayer language. Know that every time you do it, there's an expansion. You are able to carry more weight. When a man prays in tongues, he connects directly with God. No middleman, no wholesaler. Directly with manufacturer. Yeah. Are you hearing me? Very simple things. People gloss over them. You don't have to feel any emotional thing when speaking in tongues. That's the problem. You think you need to feel something to know it's real. You don't need to feel anything. It's a faith thing. You got it by faith. You sustain it by faith. You propel it by faith. You activate it by faith. You release it by faith. You can fix your own life. I'm telling you. By praying in the spirit. Yes, sir. Again, I told you guys about how I was in the city of Accra, and when I didn't have a job, I didn't have anyone to... I would just feel comfortable. If it was not a day we were going for a FECA meeting, I'd wear my bedroom slippers. If we were going for a FECA meeting, I would check like close to 1.5 hours to get to the point where we'll be holding the meeting. Because I had all the time in the world. I would leave my house because we didn't even have a mast, an MTN mast. So I would have to take my phone, move to another part of town where there was network. It was that bad. When the government and business people don't consider your area economically viable, such that they could not even put a mast. MTN mast, one, we didn't have. Then when you see Dubai, it just comes like breeze, one bar, then vanishes. Just come again. Say, hello, hello. If you spoke to anybody in my house, you will say more hellos than any other thing. Because you couldn't hear each other. It was so bad that when I looked around my house, I said to my mom once, I said, let's buy a DVD in this house. She said, but we don't have light. I said, let's just be decorating it. So if my friends come, they will know that, okay, it's light they don't have, but they have, you know that small DVD player that you sell for 5,000? Let's just put it in the parlor. Let it be there. We'll be cleaning it when we are dusting the house every morning. Because we moved into the house to realize that there was no light in the entire neighborhood. Only poles. We had Nepal poles, but no light. The area was abandoned by government, by spirits, by everybody. When you are living in a kind of place like that, where you become accustomed, the day there was the bulb came on by mistake like that, my candle was brighter than that light. You said, don't worry, off that one. Let's be using candle. I don't know if you've ever been at that broke level in your life. Where the landlord gave us quick notice. Because he said the rent was 35,000. Now, how does that sound? 35,000. Do you think that can be a problem for me even now? I mean, like, it takes me about close to fuel our two cars, like close 40,000 a month. That's someone's salary. 40,000 a month. But back then, that's like the annual 1 year rent. And the man said, "Madam, I've increased your rent. If you can't pay, you move out." The man become a commissioner in Ekiti State. So my mom said, "Okay, instead of moving out, I'll move to my own house." There was nothing. So we moved into, I think someone now called the man and said, "Look, the woman you are boarding, she bought the land in front of your house." Say, "Really?" "Say, yeah, she's the one building that house." "Say, really?" "Say, yeah." He just called my mom. He said, "No, don't move out again. Just take your time." My mom said, "Don't worry. If I wait for convenience, I will not make progress."
Yes.
The house was roofed.
Yes.
No windows. No doors. No nothing. My mom is not as old as she is. It is the stress she has gone through. She's just in her 60s. She's not old. But when a woman was forced to become a man, you know what that means? To raise 4 children to university. I said university. 4 children. Oh, because of me, she decided not to marry again. Say, "Let me focus on you." And she's from age 44. Till now that she's close to 70, in her mid-60s, she stayed and just focused. From a 2,500 salary, I say you have capacity within you. You can go ahead and say all, give all the excuses for why you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that. But when the rubber meets the road,
it
was a teacher of 2,500. I mean, that's like what? I'm like 2,500. That's what I used to buy my food in ShopRite every week in the office. That was our salary. We wait 1 month for that. I say you have, when you don't have any other choice than to survive. See your problems, they are putting up in people. And when I call him, he will send me a lot. And when I... They are now wondering why your spiritual life... It's the same attitude you brought to your spiritual life. Thinking that somebody is praying for you. Thinking that somebody is fasting for you. Thinking that somebody's responsibility is to make you fit spiritually. Brother! The party is over. Wake up. My mom will take a loan for a year. We'll use the whole of next year to repay it. We moved into that house. I'm teaching capacity. It's not my life. I'm teaching capacity. But we moved into the house, just sawdust. I say you don't want to build that. You see the issue? It's not that your levels. Eh? It's not levels. You can't think. That's the issue. The word to be born again means to think and have a turnaround.
Yes,
leave confession prayer first.
Yes,
think. So we all need to be getting born again every day. Some of you got born again that day and then stop thinking. No, no, sir. It's every day. Say, born again, again. So move to the house with sawdust every morning, man, because I used to be asthmatic. My mom would ask me, "Benga, go out of the house." She now carry water. Sprinkle, sprinkle, sprinkle on the whole house. When they start sweeping that kind of place, you can imagine. The glory of God is everywhere. That's the time when she does something that upsets me. When I remember, I just keep quiet. She's been through a lot already. So for those of you that don't like to see your mothers, I have a lady friend who said she can't marry anybody who still has a mother. That the woman must be dead. I'm not joking. I mean, I know the person I'm talking about. But right now, you know, we have children and sometimes we have issues. We have to ask them to come and help us or take the children to them. And I keep thinking of that girl. I like, so if, where are you going to run to? Who feels a more sense of responsibility than your mom?
That's right.
You see, the mom's job starts when you start having children. Because now the prayer has increased. My grandchildren must not be wayward. You know that kind of prayer? She can't control them because they have parents, but she can be praying. If God now helps you that your grandmom is a chain smoker or is someone that tastes good, she can't be there. So my mom will do all that stuff and then we'll sweep and then it will take another 1 hour for the dust to settle. If you come to our house and sit on a cushion chair, if you see that you just see dust, you just go up into this. So when I started working in the bank, you know, we are talking, I just said, "Mommy, can we redecorate this place?" "It's not a bad idea, you know." And then we started decorating. And sometimes when I get to that house now, I'm looking at, okay. So I have memories. So the landlord, that our former landlord, he wanted to sell the house. So I told my mom, "I want to buy the house." So how much is it? She said, 5 million. I said, but nobody is paid. Civil service state. People don't have money in this state. Hey, I said, I'll buy the house. I said, I just need time. See, nobody is buying the house. And I said, I have memories there because I saw the Lord in that house. I saw angels in that house. I want to buy the house as a sign that we now rename the street. Oh, if I want to do that right now, what we say? We can even start talking about it. I mean, just call the man. Do you still want to sell? I have memories there. Your memories are very important. Those things you remember about how God saved you, how God brought you out, they're helping your capacity development. Don't just get a victory, share a testimony and forget it. Keep it somewhere in your heart. Document it. If they didn't document the word of God, we won't have all those testimonies we saw. Document it. Keep your trophies. Because when David faces Goliath, if he doesn't remember that he has faced a bear and faced, he will just look at him, bro, he's not speaking in tongues. Face him. You do the capacity building when you are in your secret place. Find a prayer partner. Find 2-3 people and tell yourself, today we are coming for 7 hours praying in tongues. If you know you can't do it alone because you know you'll be tired, or you will just give yourself a exclaim, go and buy gala. You are still speaking in tongues. You are going downstairs, buy gala. Masakataya. You now put coke here. Put gala here. Imbaratakada. Yeah. So get accountable. Ask another friend to come. Ask another friend to come. This today, we are starting 8 a.m. 3 p.m. before we look up. Then you tell yourself, oh boy, today now, today we'll go die here today. Oh. And you just remove your clock, turn the clock upside down. Mambro shata delega. Forget about time. Stretching. Jesus will pray all night and preach all day. And you imagine why he was so anointed and so powerful that he was hearing people's thoughts. He could walk, he could suspend gravity and walk on water. And you are wondering, is Jesus? Shut up! He was a prayerful person. What praying in tongues allows you is to pray at the frequency of heaven. So that heaven's resources can come to you quickly. We commonize a lot of things. You take your lecturer seriously, but you take your doctor seriously. You take the traffic reports seriously. They say there's traffic at Oworo. There's traffic at Ebega. And you are studying. See the way you are studying traffic report. Because you want to leave VI to come to Bagada. You are studying traffic report. But you do not look into the word of life. But you are studying. You are not Google Map. Google Map. You are not doing like this. Like this is traffic. Like this is free. Some then the traffic at the, you are not looking at it. Say, oh goodness, oh goodness. Say, but whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, you know, are looking always in the wrong places. The attention, and it is a wiring. We have become wired to be thinking, to be doing this, searching for the wrong things. They were all that old primary school, nursery school, university, or sorry, polytechnic. It's just to wire you in a way that you give diligence to the wrong things. So that's why in our conscience, somebody says, you need to learn how to be tenacious in the place of prayer to be able to wait on God. Wait on God. Pastor, you know what? I just want to sow a seed into your life. Can you pray this prayer for me? Say, why not, brother? Yes. Says, you can't pray. Pay. Yes. Yeah? Yes. Yeah? Yes. Yeah? And there's no guarantee of, because I can't, may I sleep off when I pray? That's a joke. Amen. And there are people milking people, deceiving them, collecting money from them, prayer contractors, feeding off your inability to lift your hands to heaven and seek him. Because you don't even have confidence in your own ability to knock on heaven's door and they will open. Scripture says we are not sufficient of ourselves. He said, but our sufficiency of God. If there's any reason God hears us, it's not because of what we think of ourselves. It's because of what he thinks of us. That's why we can come. Because we know how he feels about us. The world will never understand that one. So they try to teach you something else. When a man prays in tongues, it communicates what the Bible calls mysteries. Now, what are mysteries? A mystery is something that is shrouded in, you can't explain it. It's unexplainable. They say that case was closed because it was shrouded a lot of mystery. Things that are too high for the mind to understand. When a man speaks in tongues, the Bible says you are elevated to that level. When you communicate at dimensions that are too high for the mind to understand. And if you can communicate at that level, that means the understanding can come to you at that level. Somebody is looking at a dead child and saying, the baby is dead, bury it. And you say, no. Jesus says she can live. Say, bro, I understand your faith. Say, you don't worry. Let me pray for her first. Let me pray for her first. If she doesn't rise, you can bury her. But for us in our kingdom, death is not the final stop. It's not the full stop. We pray first. If Baba says, let her go, she goes. But they say, when you panic, when you see a dead man, it's in the wiring. You've been wired that way. That anytime you see somebody that stopped breathing, it's over. You communicate deep mysteries. You speak directly into the heart of God. And God speaks directly into your spirit. And after praying for quite some time, sometimes you are on the steering and you are driving and then the meaning begins to come. Sometimes you are taking a bus and you don't begin to receive ideas. You begin to receive instructions. You begin to receive principles. You begin to receive words of assurances and you are like, wow. But while you are there praying, 7-8 hours, you didn't know you were pulling down walls, breaking down strongholds. All of a sudden, you are walking into a place and they said to you, oh, there's no job offer, there's no contract. I say, yes, what was that thing you were talking about? I said, I wasn't hearing properly. Yeah, you're going to hear me well. I said I can do that job. Yeah, you have the job. You have the job. You have the job. Why? Because there is nothing like no for a believer. You just do the prayer time. Do the prayer time. Do the prayer time. You are too lazy. Do the prayer time. Get a partner who can pray. Not the one to gossip. Do the prayer time. Stretch your capacity. Stretch your capacity. Kneel before God so you will not kneel before men. Stand in worship before God. So you not have to be saying, hey, please, sir. Please, sir. Yeah, I'm the one that says, come and see you, sir. Hey! When you have communicated with God at that level, anything below that level is going to answer. The problem is that this, my generation, doesn't like to pray. We are looking for principles, sir. The first principle of heaven, after the love of God, is prayer. Seven quick tips to a successful marriage. I wish I could tell you they were just seven. I don't know how many I've used in my short 7 years of, almost 7 years of marriage. I don't know. They are, but I'm so sure they are not seven. There are some of you that are in relationships that you are doing, you are putting in so much effort to keep it working. Stop that. Stop that. Stop burning your energy trying to make it work. If it will break, let it break. That's the problem. You are not willing to test it. How do you know his strength if you are not willing to test it? How do you know how powerful you are spiritually if you are not willing to let the power of God go out of control in your life? Why are you trying to cage it? We are praying and you feel the power of God shaking you like Shakespeare. And you're like, I must not fall today. You don't know nothing, brother. You don't know nothing, brother. There's a river coming. This one is going to carry you. It's an ocean. Test it. Some of you sleep and you have certain experiences in your dreams, in your visions. Sometimes you can't even tell if you are awake or if you are asleep. You are in between here and there, like the angel that is standing in the middle of the earth, in space, beholding heaven and beholding earth. And you are like, where am I? Is this thing real? Is something wrong with me? Brother, if you are not willing to test the full extent of the power on your inside, you don't know how far you can go. Many people are scared of the things that make for their peace. But they give attention to the things that drain them and make them emotionally and spiritually useless. In building capacity, one of the things we test is your elasticity. How much can we stretch it? And you must be willing to go that far. If you are able to pray for 2 hours and you notice after praying for 2 hours that you could not stand on your feet, say, Lord, I'm coming again tomorrow. We are doing 3. By the time I reach 2:30, I should still be on my feet. I've never been able to pray for 2 hours, but tomorrow is 3 hours or die. And the moment you begin to get to 1 hour 30 minutes, I don't know how many of you have been there, man. I mean, the day we are going to pray for 7 hours 3 weeks ago, I asked myself, who sent you? This boy. Who sent you? We started praying around 8, I think. 7 p.m. By the time it was 8, I felt so dizzy. It's like I've never slept in my life. As in, I like, Makraba Shata. I went to the bedroom there. I poured water on my face. People must have felt maybe I was in the spirit. No, I was struggling with sleep at 8 p.m. on Saturday. I mean, I went there like 15 times. Pastor, you must not sleep. Kandaraba Shata. And I poured water on my face. And I came out again. Looking charged up in my mind. Sir, today now, today. Oh. 7 hours. It looked as if the time was just crawling. And I'm wondering, oh my God. 2 a.m. looks like such a long time. After all this prayer, it's just 8 o'clock. And we are still going to 2. Can't we just have a Bible study instead? Let's just share. Let everybody be sharing. And so, but this on our prayer meeting, you know, not be Bible study meeting. But who sent you? None of you who are in that meeting can testify to what God has been doing. Let me tell you, God is always a rewarder of them who diligently. See the word diligent. That is the word you need to pay attention to. Yeah, you when your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. You have to learn how to concentrate. Say this one thing. That's a David. There's one other thing you're going to do. You're going to forget the past. We are starting afresh. Don't let anybody lie to you. There are people praying in this country. You see why God can't take an Adeboye away? I'm sure if I stand in a meeting with a pastor here at the boy, and he comes and does, by the time I come up there and I whoop up and I begin to preach, people say, who is that young man? But brother, Pastor Ebe prays close to 20 hours. I almost died from 7 hours. So what? Say you did sister. I'm going to say, what's the matter? I say, I'm trying to put myself. I say, yes, don't worry. Keep putting yourself together. Keep putting yourself together. But you see a pastor with his dog, his trained dog. And my father, I thank you, daddy. He's walking around. You see, because he doesn't want to sleep. It's not that he's being spiritual. He's going to walk around the redemption camp. Because he has done it before. He has timed it that by the time he goes around, it's 6 a.m. So it starts 9 p.m. There's no need to use this wash. We already know the calculation. There's no this one that you're looking at time. Forget! You're looking for excuse. Sir, please, would you like to buy this wristwatch? It's Longines. This a new money. It's going to cost you $12,000. I say, okay. If I need to know the time, I can ask the lady by my side in the bus. I can ask you. Say, what are you selling? Say, actually, we are not selling you knowing time. We are selling the brand. Now you are talking. It's not time we are selling. It's brand. I know it's Longines. It's not time. I can get the time anyway. It's brand. When somebody who is at that level sees it, God looks at you. Okay. Amen. Someone was in my office like, I love your hands. I said, I don't look at me. I said, no, I'm talking about your watch. I said, oh, it's a Rolex. I know. But if it's just that, you just say, that was safe. All these people say, see, you wristwatch. Maybe she's actually someone who's good with watches. You know, some people take their time to research and they cram things like designer watches and designer bags. You spend all your energy on all those past things that pass away. You understand? So they are very good in them. So it was very easy for her to notice from a distance, that's a Rolex. I don't know. The thing is on the fridge in my house. That's one man's workmanship. I say that's one man's workmanship. That you are building a tree around a house and telling, preaching to me that it's called Rolex. One man's workmanship. But you are God's workmanship. Crafted. When God was crafting you, he didn't allow any other person to do it. He sat down like the refiner, sitting with the pot in the fire, in the refiner's fire, and he was crafting you, speaking over you. He said he cleanses his body with the washing of water by the word. When God wants to keep you clean, he does it himself. By the word of God, he sits over you. Mambro shita delika. You are coming out of this abortion. He washes you. He doesn't allow anybody to bring you condemnation. He washes you himself. He said, woman who has condemned you. She said, no one. He said, I do not condemn you, but I give you power to go and sin no more. Only Jesus can do that. He knows your sin. But he's looking at a solution. Talking about it is not the issue. We all know. We spend our time talking about the problem. Do you know how many economists we have in Nigeria? Do you know how many people are on channels every week? Analyzing our problem. And we are in a worse state. The Bible says, and if they are hearing, if the vice president or whoever is online should tell him, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You want to prosper as a nation? It's not mineral resources. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the business whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the marriage whose God is the Lord. If it's not first, it's not there. I say, if it's not first, it's not there. If it's not first, it's not there. Stop looking at the devil like he has the old answer. You can't do anything about me. I'm a problem to you. I'm going to remain a problem to you. As long as I'm here, you have me to contend with. The devil is not a rival. He's under your feet. A miss is like opening a closed book and understanding what he's saying. Mene tekel of fasting. And a man in prison knew what that meant. The guys who had all the research books didn't know what that meant. The church has been curing HIV. No be today. Are you hearing me? No be today. It's only in church I see SS become AA. Only in church. And somebody is trying to tell me everything can be spiritually manipulated. Everything. Everything. But you have to stretch for it. Stretch for it. Because the sufficiency is not of us. It's of God. The ability to get it done is not of us. It's of God. But if that ability comes into you the way you are, that's why we stretch. That's why we stretch. That's why we stretch. Say, don't give sleep to your eyes. So that your enemy will not come as an armed man. You give sleep to your eyes. You sleep too much. You hit too much. Are you talking about capacity? Brother, you don't know what you are talking about. Sister, you don't know what you are talking about. When you are ready to do business with God, heaven will know. Hell will know. When you don't see the reason for your existence as making money from the certificate you suffered for. When your existence goes beyond the issue of I have my parents suffered over my certificate, I need to bring profit home. You see those low level way of thinking. You must get a job and a salary. Get a pensionable job. The pension agencies are no more paying.
They can't.
Say the economy has crashed. There's someone owing me and my wife now. They are claiming his economy that crashed. How much is the money, sir? They want to die because they cannot pay. Say, lay up your treasure. There is a place where inflation They are hearing about it, they can't see it. They say something's happening on earth in Nigeria. They say it's inflation. Say it's 500 now to a dollar. Say what about Bishop Oyedepo? He's still expanding. What about Pastor Oyedepo? He's still expanding. What about Benga? He just resigned from the bank. So you say there's recession. They say there's no recession in God's kingdom. There's no recession in God's kingdom. They say there's recession. What of my son? He's expanding. Just bought another private jet. Who is there again? Say they even started another university. Sorry, Angel Moroni, what's your name? Where did you say the recession was happening? Says Nigeria, sir. I see my sons. It doesn't matter what is going on in this country. The U.S. economy on water quarantine, they can't feel it. Is that not where the embassy is? They can't feel it too. They are watching it on channels the way you are watching. They can't feel it. They hear that's what is happening to you. But you see, on that small spot of land is the kingdom of the United States in Nigeria. They are not spending naira there. They convert to naira. There's a difference. When you don't know the kingdom you represent, you still think, you see, that's why we study the word of God, to rewrite the program that we are only in this world. We are not of this world. The moment that truth comes into your spirit, your capacity stretches. There's a recognition of who you are. You all of a sudden, you know what you can do. You know who you are. You know your abilities. You know why you should seek God. You are not doing God because you are bored on a Sunday morning and need to go out. No. You know that there is a God in the heavens who rules in the affairs of men, and that you are the first son of that God. After Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says he's our brother. I'm thinking that with the kind of glory he manifested, we'll give him another name.
Glory Jesus.
That when God looks into the eyes of Jesus, and it looks into your eyes, it's the same level of love. You don't understand? You see, Jesus never... Let me explain that love to you, so I can understand why you should not restrict yourself. Jesus never committed abortion. Jesus has never upset the Father once in his entire life. You don't understand? He never disobeyed. See, Saul, Apostle Saul, King Saul, one disobedience, God almost killed him. Jesus never killed a man. Jesus never shed innocent blood. Jesus was not a serial killer. Jesus didn't touch government money. One man returned 100 million yesterday. They say he returned. Out of seven, I say, where's the 600? I can see you. Where are the other 9? 10 people were healed. Where are the other 9? Some of you think I didn't get a favor by sharing your testimony. Do you know how many things he has seen in his lifetime? This is your small, quick testimony. You are now hoarding it. You are hoarding it. He's not calling my kids. Let me laugh at this boy. Quick testimony. What did we even do for him? I can't remember. The guy is still hoarding it. Say, leave him. Let's just be laughing. He will soon enter one chance now. You don't know the value of thanking God for life until you have been so close to death and you just managed to come out. That was close. Let me tell you something about the love of God. Because Jesus had never brought God pain. If God then looks at you, you've aborted 5 times, jilted several rich men, sold your father's land. I know a girl like that. She sold her father's land in the village. The man didn't know. Brought the money, gave to a boy in Lagos. What people do for love. Amen. It's love.
It's love. It's love. Oh. And you too, the useless boy, you collected it. The boy was already in the UK. One useless boy got married to a very beautiful girl. Then he got all this arranged relocation, marriage. Moved to the US, then called the fine girl here, say, "You are still a very young woman. If you want to marry, marry, go and marry. Me, I'm not coming back." This is the pastor was praying. Hey, Kalaraba, the door of US is opening to you. The guy did not say he was arranging something. The girl followed him to pastor's house. "Father, our destiny, our breakthrough." She was joining the young man. Meanwhile, while they were praying, the young man was arranging for a US wife. Got there and called the wife. "Don't care. You're a very beautiful woman. If you want to remarry, go and remarry. I'm Mutilo." You see why a pastor's work is very difficult. If it's a prophet, he can bring judgment on you immediately. If it's a pastor, he has to like, okay, amen. Let's repent before the Lord first. Prophet doesn't have time. "Are you the one?" She says, "Fire." Well, pastor has to be amen, accommodating. Even when you're angry, you just try and cool down. where I go heat for your body. But God looks at you in all of this, and then the same love he feels for his son, the same quality, the one that has never offended before, is what he feels for you. And that's why that songwriter said, "They don't know what you feel for me. They don't." When you come to that point in your walk with God where you know that anything you become in God is because you are already accepted. You are not doing anything to be accepted. You are already accepted. You sit, you are a joint and a co-heir with him. You are not trying to get to the throne. You are there. And when you are on the throne, there's corresponding dominion and authority. So you can begin to manifest that glory and that power based on your understanding of the word of God. I challenge you this morning. See yourself how, just the way God sees you. You will never be able to release your spiritual potentials if you keep looking on the outside. You have to look on the inside. I was so sick on a particular day, and I was in my room alone. I was not married then. In my one room, I was listening to Kenneth E. Hagin. One of the few audio messages I've been privileged with, he was teaching on prayer. And you know the way Kenneth E. Hagin talks, just talking. And then he told the people to stand up, and then they were going to pray. Then he made them take a confession. "I am filled with the Spirit of God. I'm walking in love. I have the Spirit of prayer." And then they kept reciting. And I said, "Now we are going to begin to pray in the Spirit. Father, we'll pray in the Spirit. And as we pray by faith, we ask that you will take these words and you will bring us into the very center of the will of God." And people were just confessing after him. I just heard the power of God just gripped me and I was healed. Just listening to Hagin praying in tongues, I was just caught in that atmosphere. Like, this man was dead, but he recorded something that was captured. And I was healed in my body, listening to Kenneth E. Hagin as he prayed in the Spirit. You limit yourself too much. Go back to your house and tell them no more death in this house. Because I said so. Tell them because you said so. You see, the problem is you are still using Jesus as an intermediary. The same status, the same glory he had, he said he gave to you. My brother, you have authority in the name of Jesus. Huh? Even if there are 21 demons in your house. You know, there are some things that can be happening in your house. You become gentle. Because the signs are too real. But we do not follow signs. Signs follow us. We don't follow signs.
We don't make a decision based on what is happening and what is not happening, but based on the word of God. If you have people in your homes that don't get married early, go back home today. From today, people will start getting married in this house. There's a difference between when you are making a plea. Please God, my sister, the two of them, they are not married. Me, I'm 29, not married. When I look at the mirror, I know I'm not really attractive. It means I may likely not get married. Father, please, if you can do anything, help us. Have you seen Mark Zuckerberg's wife? Have you seen the wife before? Have you seen the wife on Facebook before? If I stay in the same room with that woman, I will even know I'm with a woman. As in, it won't occur to me that this is a woman standing for me. I'm not attracted to her. Or rather, she doesn't look attractive to me. My opinion. The sixth richest man in the world thinks that the level of her thinking is what is okay for him. Buhari, with all his holiness, wanted to choose a wife. He went for Aisha. That woman should be a model. As in, she practically is like a queen. In my holiness, I can still see how beautiful she is. In my holiness, I can still see it. So it's not beauty that gives a woman husband. That's where I'm going, actually. It's not your makeup, bro. Because when he wants to marry you, he asks you to take it off. Let's see the real face. Is this your real face? This is not my real face, bro. So what is your real face? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have abilities in God that you need to discover. It is only as you stretch in the spirit. And may I say this? Find your company. Find your company. There are people like you who exist who you don't know. Let the sons of Issachar stay with themselves. Tribe of Judah, let them stay in their own colony. Many times, because the training required for a son in Judah is slightly different from the training for a son of Issachar. So when you find yourself when you are a prophet, but you find yourself in the company of pastors, when you want to go into a speech and say amen, a little housekeeping, please, for those of us in the sanitation department, let us pray, let us intercede. When you are an intercessor like Bola, let's pray for Japan. Bola, you are just it's time for Thanksgiving, we have people want to get married, let's clap for this. 30 minutes appreciating people that want to get married. Time we can use to pray. All of us are right, but somebody is in the wrong space. Find your tribe. Find your tribe in the spirit. Find your tribe. That place that when you get or you attend, you are like a fish in water. You are like a fish in water. You just have at least 80 years, you will die. You want to spend 80 short years living a lie. Time to make people happy. No time. When you are 18, you are liable to go to hell. Or even 12 self. If you like, if your parents are not working the will of God and you are listening to them, hey, point of correction. If your parents, you are about to make a decision and that decision is not their position, is not the will of God, because you want to satisfy them, you listen to them, God will not ask you. The day he will judge Saul, Jonathan will die. If Jonathan had stayed out of that battle that day, he would be alive. He knew the will of God was with David, but sentimentally stayed with his father. When the arrow came, they both died. Don't Don't make emotional attached. Don't get emotionally attached to where God has left. That is the greatest thing that kills anointed men. He says, see how Saul died, like one that was not anointed. My brother, after stretching and doing all this effort, don't pitch your camp with something God has left. If God has killed a relationship, don't resurrect it, because you have resurrection power. If God says leave your job and do full time, well, you all know my decision already. Anyway, so. You see, it's good to say this when it's not you. I say, oh, we obey the Lord. You must obey the Lord. Obey. It's because it's not you. Break that relationship. If he's not born again, you can't marry him. In your mind, but the guy is okay now. It's just that he's not born again. The devil will be your father-in-law. It's easy to say. That's why we say stretch now. When you stretch, you'll be able to accommodate it. The word won't come down. Yes. I can't marry the son of my father's enemy. Yes. Because once you just press the mumu button, the boy will be beating you at home. Are you hearing me? So stretch. Stretch. The anointing is to enable you to stretch. Stretch. Don't be like Saul. He was anointed, but he didn't stay close to his source. So he got dried up. Find your company. Find your spiritual tribe. Stay there. May the Lord help us. In the name of Jesus. I want you to lift up your voice and just ask the Lord to help you in this season. To help you in this season.
We know you've been blessed with these words, so you can as well visit us. Plot 223 beside Bode Emmanuel Center, Satellite Bus of Ikorodu Road, Ilukweju, Lagos. You can also log on to our website at www.theharvestword.org. Contact us for counseling 080-8317-8191. God bless you.